It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
And on the round, it's Dixon. And Dixon goes home. Touchdown, Utes.
Didn't know that, but that's good for JD, and he made a terrific catch early in the game. That adjustment, it was a third down catch. That was not easy, and he did a great job adjusting to that. Cam put the ball right where it needed to be. Then he scored on the reverse, and it's just great. You know, he had some bumps in the road, you know, a few years ago, and we almost lost him. We did lose him for a period of time, and he came back, and we're very glad he did, and he's contributing for us very well.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Hey, it's Monday. It's a Monday after a college football weekend. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. What's with this random music going on? Just playing music? Jeremy's just playing music. Hey, whatever you want. We'll just play music the whole time. Okay, perfect. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Welcome to your Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Giant weekend of sports. I was just so glad. I love those. I love the weekends when BYU plays early. Because then I have to do pre- and post-game shows on a Saturday. For once.
I want to go back in time.
What do you mean? What do you want to do?
I just want to go back in time. And it just hit me right before we went on the air. I miss the good old days.
Oh, boy. Here comes Scott Mitchell living in the past, everybody.
I want to go back.
To when you peaked?
No.
You don't think this is peak Scott now?
To when we did the show, when I did it remotely.
Oh, you want to be at your house
I
want
to go back to my living room.
You still
back to doing the show in my underwear, not even combing my hair.
Listen, I'm going to say something, though.
I miss those days. I miss those days.
You come into the office, we talk about sports. You still haven't put pants on.
Nope.
There's still no pants in 2022, so what's the problem?
Well, I had to comb my hair. I had to drive here.
See, I take it personally because I think you don't want to see me.
No.
That's what it is.
No, yeah. I don't. That's not what it is.
You know I'm insecure. You know I need our relationship. You got to always be telling me we're okay. Are you and I okay, Scott?
You're okay. Yes. You are fine. Everything.
You don't love somebody else,
fine.
Do you?
Everything is just fine.
Hey, I know where you were on Saturday afternoon. Noon kickoff for the Utes and Oregon State. That's where we're going to kick things off here. Let's just jump in right here. We do this every weekend where I'm like, don't talk to me about the game. I have a couple things we might say here and there, but Scott's going to break it down for me here and how the Utes dominated the Beavers. 42-16 at Rice-Eccles Stadium. That's where we're going to kick things off with the cut.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. No. At University of Utah Health, they get the same great care. The Jazz, Utes, and Cougars. No. Cougars? Who? Oh, and RSL. Yeah, those are the ones. UofuHealth.org is the website, UofuHealth.org. And also, G2G Bars. Scott converted a couple more people to G2G Bars this weekend. Preservative-free and found in your refrigerated section of your Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick, Costco. Got some at Costco this weekend. That's what I did. I buy them at Costco, then I convert people with them, hand them out.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. They're awesome sponsors.
I converted some folks to the G2G this
weekend. That's the thing is that I think that they go, nah, I don't know. I've seen them, but I just didn't want to pick one up. And then I'm like, just do it. Here you go.
Just try it.
Hey, 42-16, big win. I don't think anybody is fooled by the thought that Utah, you know, kind of lucked a win on this one. They were the by far dominant team. They ended up blowing this thing out. It was 21-16 in the third quarter. I sneezed, and then it was 42-16. They had an awesome showing on defense. The offense, I think people are looking at it, they're going, we didn't have. I saw somebody post on Twitter, this is my favorite, critiquing a 42-16 win. Right. Look, I love the win. That's what I love. Buffy, what was the score? 42-16. Oh, a dominant win over the Beavers. Now, that's in Oregon. Am I wrong? Now, how many yards on offense did we have? And then they look at the scoreline, and they're outgained by Oregon State, technically. And you go, I don't care. I don't care. Who cares? Because in the end, the four picks, three of them by Clark Phillips, all of the things that Utah did on defense were as impressive as they did on offense. You've already told me never to expect Cam Rising to have a 350-yard passing game, because that's not what Andy Ludwig does. That's not what he does. But a 70-something-yard rushing day for Cam Rising, a solid game through the air without being too crazy.
Well, he's 199 yards throwing through the air. Very efficient. I mean, he threw the ball very well. I think he had three touchdown passes. Great.
In the end, your impressions of this game then?
Well, here's the thing. There's one thing that jumped out at me defensively. The effort, the all-out effort by guys was just unbelievable. Junior Tafuna was just, he was insane. He was right. Like how hard he played. Mo Diabate had four tackles for loss. RJ Hubert, I think, who led the team in tackles, free safety. It was just exceptional against the run.
You said, I mean,
they were so good.
Mo Diabate, I was listening to the broadcast when you guys were on the radio. I was like, this guy's figuring some things out.
He really is. And he's that perfect linebacker type for Utah. And, you know, we're going to talk to Devin Kafusi later on in the show, but Oregon State is really good up front. Their offensive line is probably the best offensive line in the Pac-12 as far as running the football. Really, really good. And they were so good at Utah. I mean, they got a couple of times, but consistently they were getting good downhill penetration at line of scrimmage with these linebackers. They were reading and flowing. And you have to against that offensive line or you're going to just get smothered. And he was so good at it. And really everyone was. I mean, all these guys were great. Of course, then you have Clark Phillips, who, you know, just had a day. But it was just the effort. Like, it was just the absolute just effort plays by guys, you know, Junior running and actually getting in a tackle on a flanker screen from the inside. RJ Hubert coming up from his safety position to make a tackle on the weak side of the running back in the backfield. Like that is just effort, you know, and Zeremiah Vaughn running down a wide receiver on another screen that really was about the biggest play that Oregon State had. Stop the guy, right? And he's on like the 5-yard line and then they don't score and they kick a field goal. I mean, just great effort. And he had a diving tip pass, and this is Jeremiah Vaughn, who's not the starter. You know, he's not a starting guy, but just a great effort. And then Clark Phillips.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Clark Phillips, when Clark Phillips had his interceptions, like, there are interceptions, Alex. Like, you get a tip, you get a badly thrown pass behind a guy, whatever. Every single one of those interceptions, he earned them. Like, they were an elite athlete, understanding,
right,
playing elite coverage, and making big-time interceptions.
Okay, so where is this team right now? Because, like, that's something I want to ask Devin later.
Okay.
Is like, you see this team now. You see where they were last year. That they ended up being Pac-12 champions. Are they ahead of schedule this year? Like, is there are they clicking on all cylinders? Because you see Kalani talking about this all the time, and BYU's not there yet. You look at Utah and you go, okay, so are they clicking right now all the way?
So here's where they're clicking. Their defense, from the front to the linebackers to the secondary, they're clicking. Like, they have players. Like, this linebacker crew is, you know, 1 through 4 is really, and it's really 5. But, and they typically play 2, sometimes 3 guys, really good. Defensive front is exceptional and deep. The secondary, the safeties, R.J. Hubert and Cole Bishop.
Cole Bishop, yeah.
Cole Bishop's probably as good a player as there is in the Pac-12. I mean, aside from Clark Phillips. And then you have J.T. Broughton on the weak side. Just really, really good. Really, really good. And Oregon State, believe it or not, actually went after Utah throwing the ball at them. And early. I mean, the first 2 plays of the game were passes. And of course, you know, they know that Utah is going to be geared to stop the run. But Utah had, you know, really, really had their number. Just did an excellent job. On offense, here's the thing. I know everyone's all bent sideways about running the football. They were not going to let Utah run the football.
Right.
And the thing, when you're asking, is this team clicking on all cylinders? Cam Rising was amazing.
Yeah,
Cam Rising was...
does all things he's asked.
He just does everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cam Rising looked yesterday like he looked at the end of the season last year. Like, he took it up a notch this past week. And Devon Vele, who... you know, because everyone's like, what the heck's going to happen with Brant Keithy? Devon Vele had an exceptional game. Jalen Dixon, who's a guy that's kind of, you know, he wasn't with the team for a while, going through some things personally, comes back, great attitude. But every time that guy touches the ball, something electric happens. I mean, and that's the way it was before. This kid has legitimate top-end speed. And the more they figure out how to get him involved in things... you know, and it's the jet sweep. It's the throw the ball deep kind of thing.
I was just watching the little reverse, you know, jet sweep type thing.
When he got going,
he blows past everybody.
He goes by everybody.
So why doesn't he see the ball more?
Because he's a guy. It's one of those things where, you know, where do you start? Because you have 3 really good running backs. Tavion Thomas, something's wrong there. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if it's in his head or if he's physically injured, but he's not running with the same kind of urgency and tenacity that, you know, maybe he was even running in earlier in the season. Jalen Dixon is probably the best runner they have right now. Mekhi Bernard played, and Mekhi creates opportunities. Mekhi's good out of the backfield as a receiver. He has a lot of good things.
Yeah, but when he's... but when you have... nobody's taking over. BYU and Utah both have this issue right now where it's like, okay, well, which guy is it?
No, well, no, you don't need to. I mean, the guys that are there, that's the point, is like figuring out how to get Jalen Dixon more involved. That's not a problem because he's been very productive. It's just you realize... wow, we got to find more opportunities for him. That's an exciting challenge to have because that'll come into play down the road. Devon Vele is a guy that consistently shows up. Dalton Kincaid's a guy that consistently shows up. You had a couple of new guys at tight end that actually played pretty decent. Money Parks showed up in the game, and he's a guy that you know, Solomon Enos was injured. So, but the thing that was this is why Utah's so good. Okay, they can run the football, and if they have to run, they will. But they also can throw the football very well. So they're a team. They're a team that's not one dimensional, and they're going to kind of take and do whatever they have to do to be fairly effective. I mean, you know, the offense put 35 points on the board, and you know, and probably could have put more points on the board. I mean, they had the defensive score. This is just, I think, the most complete team in the Pac-12. And if, you know, and so the big thing was, let's just take Georgia, for example. Everyone realized that Stetson Bennett is just okay throwing the football. If you can stop Georgia from running the football, you can beat Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia and you know doesn't who can, look good right now, right?
And you know who can stop Georgia from running the football? A team like Utah. Like they're
sorry, I'm writing this down real quick. Are you putting Utah in the national championship game against Georgia? Am I penciling them in then?
Ohio State, right? That Utah was undermanned against and went toe to toe to the end of the game. All I'm telling you is any given Saturday, Utah can compete with anyone in college football. That's what I think.
Colin
Cowherd had a powerful statement about Utah. That it was powerful what he thought about where Utah was. Because they're 11 in the country right now, and they're the top-rated team that has a loss, basically.
Yeah, you know, and I was looking at that, because you've said that kind of from the beginning, because they've been in that spot of being the highest-rated team with one loss for a while. And at some point, all the teams in front of them are going to start losing, right? I mean, they can't go – they all play each other, you know, including Utah's going to be playing
everyone
USC in front of them, all that. So, but I'm telling you, the Pac-12 is in a way good spot right now. Because and it only helps Utah. Oregon is on a 4-game win streak. It's starting to become a scary team.
So then you have
USC, who's undefeated. Right. You have UCLA this weekend, who's undefeated. And I watched that game against Washington this weekend. And I'm telling you, they're at a different level. Like, all the stuff is clicking for them that they've always said they're going to click, and they haven't. And now they are. And so this only benefits Utah to be able to say, hey, a ranked UCLA team, a ranked USC team, a ranked Oregon team. I'm sure Washington State's going to be ranked by when they play them too. So all of these teams that are lining up in front of them are better than they thought. The committee is when the first poll comes out. What is it? The 2nd of November or whatever it is. That very first weekend of November, they're going to have to recognize the fact that Utah is mowing down ranked opponents if they can keep the winning up, and if they are really the best team in the Pac-12.
Well, look at what will happen. Let's just assume Utah wins against UCLA this week. They're a better football team than UCLA, okay? Better team. But, you know, that's what you haven't found out. Can Utah beat a good team on the road? That's when you know you have a championship team, when you can do that. So let's just say Utah plays USC, they'll both be in the top 10, right? So Utah wins that game, then USC will probably drop below Utah. Maybe somewhere 10, you know, somewhere around there after they lose that
game.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
So then who moves up? I mean, Oregon's right behind Utah in the polls. So now in the middle of November, Utah now plays an Oregon team that's probably – so Utah's going to play two top 10 teams in the season, right? So then Oregon plays Utah late in the year – probably both of them top 10 teams. And what you're going to end up with, if you're looking at, you know, the college football rankings, you're going to say, you know, Utah beat, like you're mentioning, but I'm walking through the scenario of what you're saying here.
Yeah.
So then Utah plays in the Pac-12 championship, probably against a team like Oregon or USC again, who are these top teams. But you could potentially have three or four teams in the Pac-12 inside the top 15, based on just because they're all there's three teams way up in the polls right now, with Utah, USC, and Oregon, and you know Oregon's way or USC's way up. So if they lost to Utah, they're not going to fall out of the sky at this point
in
the season.
You know, maybe it's because what's interesting is with all the college football realignment stuff that happened in the offseason, I think we just. I'm shocked that the Pac-12 is as good right now as they are. And I know USC and UCLA are going to be going to the Big Ten. Fine. They can have them. But you think about it, and like the teams who are going, the Big 12, for example, Texas and Oklahoma are like barely in the middle of that pack, right? Or toward the bottom of the pack if you're Oklahoma. And to be able to have these teams in the Pac-12 performed where they are. I think we just assumed that the Pac-12 wasn't going to be very good, right?
Yep.
They're looked at as a relegated conference a little bit already. They're looked at as a little bit soft. They're looked at as on, you know, they've been kind of headed a certain direction. Utah only won the Pac-12 last year because they have such weak teams in there. You've even said, "Hey, listen, the Pac-12 wasn't that good last year, so it was a good year for Utah. I had to win it." But now you have a way different scenario in front of you. A much improved, basically every team that's playing in front of him, maybe except for Oregon. And Oregon's playing as good a football as we've seen them play. They've won four in a row, and they had that loss to Georgia. And I'm not certain that if they played Georgia this coming weekend that they wouldn't make that thing a football game.
It'd be, like everybody's it'd be a different, it'd
right?
Be, yeah,
it just is so game. Hard at the beginning of the year to know exactly what's going on with really these is. Teams. And so right now, that's why it's interesting to see the evolution every week, week upon week. That's why BYU fans are still a little bit grumpy and salty about that loss or about the win against Utah State, because it felt like a loss in a way because the team didn't make any progress. And so that's concerning, where it didn't feel like it was making much progress, but a win's a win's a win. And so you have to tell people, hey, a win is a win is a win. So just relax, settle down.
But here's another thing to consider when you say a win's a win's a win, okay? And this is important. So just take Utah this last week. They get Oregon State at home after what? After an emotional loss at home against mm-hmm. USC. Yep. And so they got to travel to Utah. So if you're going to play Oregon State, who I think is a really good football team, I mean, if they don't throw four interceptions 2 weeks in a row, you know, these games might be a little bit closer. They certainly would have won that game against USC, and it would have been a much, much closer game against Utah. A much, much closer game. Okay.
Sure. Yep.
And they're a good football team. They're not. If they had a decent quarterback, if they would have gone in the transfer portal and picked up anybody other than what they have, they would be a pretty darn good football team.
I'm having to read.
So, but it's when you get someone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Utah goes to USC right now, or UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA. You know what they are? They're flying high. We haven't lost all year. We had this big win against. And it all against Washington, it's almost the same effect that Oregon State had, where you're overinflated with yourself right now. Like Utah has its nose to the.
Do you think Oregon State was overinflated because they only lost by 3 points?
No, when I say USC overinflated, what? But what I'm saying is your emotional psyche was down if you're Oregon State,
right?
Because of the loss, like, and it looked a little bit that way. If you're UCLA, your emotional psyche is too high right now. You're too full of yourself.
Oh, so they're too confident,
right?
Oh, okay.
And so what I'm saying is that sometimes in a season, hitting a team because it's every game is different, right? Every game is different. Now UCLA, they're going to be hyped up to play Utah for sure. No question about it. And they're going to feel good about themselves. But it's just one of those little factors that plays into hitting teams at the right time.
Okay, so where's Utah then?
Well, here's what so,
right where they need to be. So they had that one loss. They got a little bit humbled by that.
No question. And they it was a gut punch of all gut punches. And no one's really been talking about Utah. No one, you know, the national perspective. They're off the radar, and they'll get back on the radar. They win this week, they'll get back. They'll be in the thick of the conversation.
The only way that Utah,
if they win the next 2 weeks,
the only way that Utah becomes part of the national conversation again is when they start creeping up the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah,
that when those first rankings come out in a month. So what you're hoping for, because if there's a loss between now and November 2nd, when those first rankings come out. Then no one's going to be talking about Utah State.
Oh, they're done.
Which is wild. Yeah. Because right now, as you look at it, and we'll talk a little bit about these numbers later on in the show, but it is like really hard to come back from a two-loss anything, anywhere, not just in the Pac-12, but in any of these conferences, right? And yet, they still have a shot if they lose against Oregon or USC or even UCLA. If those teams are ranked high enough, you might be able to be a part of that conversation still.
Well, so, yeah, and my point is more about it's the timing of when you catch a team. BYU did a great job of that a year ago. You know, they got Arizona the first game of the year, the Arizona State at home. They got Utah at just the right time. They hit all of these schools. They got USC when they were just a dumpster fire, and sometimes when you get a team is as important as, you know. Are you actually a better team? Is it actually home or away? So that emotional psyche of a team when you play them, the health of the team. I mean, there's a lot of things, and that's why these games week in and week out are different and new, and you just don't know what's going to happen, and that's why it gets exciting to watch.
I am really excited by the fact that Utah's winning like they are, and that BYU's winning like they are. It makes for so much a better headline or storylines for us to be able to talk about these teams, because now Utah goes up to 11 in the polls, quietly number 11 in the country. And I think this is exactly where Kyle Whittingham wants to be. Don't think about us. Don't talk about us. Don't mention us. Well, let's beat UCLA down in Pasadena, which I think that, I don't know what the opening, what's our degenerate gambler producer say about the line of that game?
2.5, I think, wasn't it?
Utes open 2.5?
Yeah.
Favorites. Mm-hmm. Utes are favorites. Why wouldn't they be, right? I mean, this is, I think that they'll even have a little bit of juice from going down there and playing the Rose Bowl. Because teams do this, Scott, I'll tell you from experience, teams do this all the time. They go down there every week. Every team that plays UCLA down at the Rose Bowl, they go, we know that we could be playing back at the stadium again later in the season.
It has an impact.
Yeah, but on top Utah, of it, when you've already been there and you know it's a possibility, it's one thing. When teams come in there and go, we could be playing later here in the season here, it's like, no, you're not. But Utah, when they mention it, that's a legitimate thing. And they know what it feels like to be in that locker room, and they know what it feels like to play in that stadium. It's a much different atmosphere, for sure. But I think they're going to get a lot of juice from going back to that stadium and playing this weekend. Imagine going back in time and telling the young you that jerseys would be as important as and the combinations of jersey would be as important as anything else leading up to the hype of a game. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson. And unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.